Our scripture lesson today is read from the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning in the 31st verse. Listen for God's word. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There were some people there who brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand upon him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ear. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, God who loves and God who saves, open our hearts and mind and ears. Open our hands to receive your word in faith. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If we believe in God at all, we believe in miracles. Imagine driving through rush hour traffic only to pull over as an ambulance speeds by with sirens blaring. That ambulance interrupting the ordinary flow of traffic is like a miracle. Not breaking any of the laws of nature, but using something ordinary in an extraordinary way. Often, we as humans hesitate to label something as a miracle because we limit what we think can happen. We pray, "Lord, I'm sick. I need to feel better for work or practice. I need a miracle." Thankfully, God is not limited by our understanding. His miracles are the very heart of the gospel, constantly at work, not just occasional interventions. The resurrection of Jesus some 2,000 plus years ago brought a new power into the world. It was a power that overcomes death. Through his resurrection, Jesus gave us a glimpse of the ultimate miracle, the ultimate coming of a new heaven and a new earth, free of death, free of suffering, free of tears and sorrow. The gospel, then, is about nothing less than Jesus transforming the universe, transforming the whole of creation. And he invites us to follow him. The miraculous healing in Mark 7 is just a preview of what is to come. We may not know what miracles Jesus will perform in our lives, but Mark's account encourages us to trust in God's power. In verse 37, the people exclaim, "He has done all things well. He has done all things well." That statement encapsulates the hope that we hold on to in a world where we often don't do things well, where we often fall short. Jesus doesn't ask us to earn our way to this hope. We bring nothing but need, and in return, God fills us with eternal hope and solid assurance. The gospel is not an abstract concept. It is grounded in the realities of our world, where our problems exist. Just as Jesus spoke in a language that people could understand, he meets us in our everyday lives. There it was in places like Tyre and Sidon. Here it is in places like Fayetteville, Cumberland County, or on the Methodist University campus, speaking our language and reaching out to us. In Mark 7:31-37 that we read today, we see a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. His friends brought him to Jesus, believing he was not beyond God's grace. True friends are those who carry us when we cannot carry ourselves, who speak and hear for us when we cannot. This man represents all of us, needing Jesus to perform a miracle, before we can even begin to understand the gospel. Jesus took the man aside privately. He did not use him for attention or to draw attention to himself, but to genuinely care for him. He put his fingers in the man's ears and touched the man's tongue, performing a strange yet powerful act. When we wonder what Jesus is doing in our lives, we must remember that he is not limited by our understanding. The scripture says that Jesus looked up to heaven, sighed deeply, and said, "Be opened." Now, friends, this command was not just to the man's ears and mouth. It was to the man himself. Be opened. Our need is not just for small, for-the-moment fixes here and there, but for a complete transformation of our being. Someone once wrote, "We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, we pray for comfort, for family, and protection while we sleep. We pray for healing and for prosperity. We pray for God's mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, God hears each spoken need. Yet God loves us way too much to give us lesser things." Jesus doesn't speak only to one part of our being, physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Jesus speaks to the entirety of our brokenness and says, "Be opened." Be open to God's healing. Be open to new life. Not only will we be healed, that would be miraculous in itself, but the real miracle is we will not only be healed, one day we will be raised to new life. And not only we, but all of creation raised to new life, a new heaven and a new earth. Consider this. What if we lived not only interested and committed to our own well-being, but to the well-being of everyone? What if we were to find ourselves in this story at the place of the friends who are constantly bringing this campus, the community, the world, to a place of healing? We often live confined by our limitations. We think we have forfeited opportunities, but Jesus' command to be open redefines our future. We were created to be free, to live fully for God's glory, and Jesus came to give us that freedom back. When Jesus spoke, the man's tongue was released. He began to speak plainly, the scripture says, but this is more than just a physical healing. It symbolizes the release of our deepest inhibitions. What if we were truly free to express our love, our gratitude, our repentance? Jesus can give us that freedom. Jesus' modesty in telling the healed man to keep quiet shows his deep care. Despite the instructions, however, people proclaimed his deeds, and they did so with zeal. For 2,000 years, humanity has been astonished by Jesus because he specializes in those times when we feel no hope. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. In Isaiah's prophecy, the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, make the lame to leap, and the mute to sing for joy. Jesus fulfilled these promises, showing us that no brokenness is beyond his healing. We all have areas of our life where we struggle to believe that Jesus can heal. Places of deep sin or deep hurt. Yet Jesus meets us in those very places with his healing touch, loving us even there, and offers us, "Be open, be made well." Our story is not defined by our own brokenness, but by Jesus' successful grace. All he asks is that we trade our sins for his cross and our death for his resurrection. All he asks is that we be open to his work in our life. Our brokenness is not our identity. Instead, we are astonished beyond measure by Jesus, who does all things well. at the heart of our community is not perfection, but flawed sinners welcoming each other into friendship as we stumble through this life together toward Jesus, continually amazed by how He does all things well. Continually amazed by how He day by day transforms us and all of creation. Be well. Be opened. In the name of Christ. Amen.